everyone. Welcome to Adventures in Autism, episode 27. I am Megan Carranza. Thank you so much for coming to listen. If it's your first episode, welcome. So happy to have you. If you have been listening, thank you so much for coming back. Today's episode is super exciting. It is with my first international guest. Yes, Adventures in Autism is international. we talk about this on the episode, but my guest is Kristen, and she is a fellow autism mama, and she's special for a couple reasons. Number one, she lives in Australia, so we were recording this podcast very, very far apart. We had some interesting times figuring out the time zone with Australia and Chicago. It sounds like it should be easy, but for some reason it ended up being more difficult than we thought. So we recorded this, it was 5 in the morning here for me, and it was 10 at night for her. So I do sound like really tired, especially in the beginning, so forgive me. But yeah, so number one, she lives in Australia. Number two, she's my first guest who has a daughter, which I've had several listeners reach out and ask about that. And if you have a daughter with autism, hit me up, because I've only really had guests with sons, and I am more than looking and would love to hear from all of you girl moms out there. And so, yeah, so she has a daughter. And then the last reason why she is so special is because she is the first listener ever to have reached out to me, like right after I started the podcast. And I'll kind of get into that on the episode. But basically, Kristen is amazing. And we have a really great conversation that I hope you enjoy listening to. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Kristen. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to Adventures in Autism.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So everyone can hear your accent now. So tell everyone where you are.
I'm from Sydney, Australia.
Yay. So Kristen is my first international guest. But I have to give a little backstory, because she is actually the very first listener that ever had reached out to me when I was first starting the podcast. I wanted to get a few episodes recorded before I really like launched it. So I had recorded a few episodes on the app Anchor, which is what we're using to record right now. And I had actually like published them, but I hadn't told anybody. I told like a couple of friends and like my immediate family. Like it was not something I was like putting out there yet. So I had no idea that people were like, really anybody could find it at that point. And then one day I woke up and I had a voice message on the Anchor app, because this was before I had the email set up or like any of the, you know, social media accounts. And it was from Kristen, and the tagline said, "Hello from Australia." And I was like, what? I'm like, somebody, first of all, anyone is listening to my podcast and she's in Australia? Like, I couldn't believe it. It was the kindest, the sweetest voice message, just saying how you really like the show and you really appreciate it. And then I ended up giving you I voice messaged you back and I gave you the email. Yeah. We've been in communication. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's so crazy that, I mean, it's such a great time that we live in, that we're able to connect with people, you know, who are literally across the world. So if I sound delirious, it's 5 a.m. here in Chicago. I just woke up. And then for Kristen, it's 10 p.m. in Sydney. So we are in like different days too, because it's Friday just started here, but it's almost Saturday for you. So
yeah, I'm technically in the future.
you live in the future, Kristen. You are just like so cool. Okay, so I'm gonna kind of let you take over then and sort of detail for us your journey. I mean, you've told me a little bit. I am excited because you are the first mom that I've had on who has a daughter with autism. I've spoken so far to, you know, parents with sons. So it'll be interesting to hear that perspective. So if you will just kind of take us back to sort of the beginning of your journey, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, this will definitely test my memory bank. So, okay. So let's just start off when she was born. My daughter's name is Michaela. Mm-hmm. Named after her dad, Michael. She was born on 25th of July, 2012, and via cesarean. And it was actually a voluntary cesarean because I was actually quite traumatized with my first delivery, my first child. It was like a 27-hour labor.
Oh, wow. So
I was really traumatized from that. And I thought, you know what? I got the choice to have a cesarean. I'm going to take it. And they allowed me. So I thought, okay, let's do it. And it was just like the smoothest sailing labor delivery ever. You know, you just in, you know, and they do their thing, and then she's there, she's born. Yeah, it was just so easy. And I just remember her crying, and yeah, it was just the happiest moment. And I mean, I'll go back a bit. I mean, she's also my first daughter, and also the first granddaughter of my side of the family. So my mom was super, super happy to find out then. And, there she was. She was born, and I remember her. She was just so perfect. Like, she was just the cutest thing. Mm-hmm. And literally reminded me of a dumpling. She was shiny and round and fat. And
aww.
She was like a dumpling. Like, she was, that was the nickname we gave her.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and so she was born, and you know, we were just happy. We had a boy and a girl. Things were perfect, and it's just throughout her growing up, everything seemed fairly normal, you know. And I always remember her to be very smiley. She was always happy, you know. She was quiet, you know, like she just, but was always a happy child. She slept well. She ate well. There was nothing really to just that stood out. Like, she was just perfect.
So, like, in the early toddler years, you didn't have any kind of red flags or anything that pointed?
No. The thing was, like, I don't know. I mean, like, throughout her milestones, everything seemed fairly normal. Mm-hmm. She was crawling, sitting up, and, walking at about a year or so. And yeah, and then just trying to think, like, she was just always just a happy child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of the flags. I mean, and when she was pretty much going to daycare, mm-hmm. I was a bit concerned because she started going to daycare at about 18 months. And at that point, she still wasn't really talking.
Mm-hmm.
It just blows my mind just looking back at it. Me and my husband were just totally relaxed. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, and just looking back at it now, I'm thinking, is it because, you know, because both me and my husband are both quite quiet people,
mm-hmm.
not huge talkers. And so we thought, oh, maybe she's just got the trait. Maybe she's just not a huge talker, you know. And so we didn't really, was hugely concerned. And so when she entered daycare, it was a little bit worrying because, you know, she wasn't able to communicate whether she was thirsty or, you know, whether she needed something. So that was a worry for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly her way of communicating was mainly through gestures, like grunting or, you know, mm-hmm. pulling someone's hand, you know, directing them where to go and that sort of thing. And she'd say a few words here and there, like she would say mama or dada. And she didn't really say yes or no consistently. Like, she would probably she would jump up and down if she wants something, like yes, or she'd scream and have a tantrum if she doesn't want anything. And so that was her way of communicating. And then as days went on at daycare, it was the educators that really were concerned, because they said to me, oh, she doesn't seem to be sitting down for long periods of time during, you know, circle time or group time, you know, and she just seems to just sort of wander off and do her own thing. And she just sort of like fleet from one activity to the next. She wouldn't sort of stay for as long period of time. And I mean, and it was really hard because, you know, we want her to learn. We want her to learn as much as she should at daycare, and on top of that make some friends as well. Like, she seems to kind of do a lot of things on her own as well. She wouldn't really kind of take part in group activities, and and so that sort of stuff kind of bothered us. But then again, you know, being relaxed parents, we didn't really sort of took it as serious as we should have, until, you know, the educator said, you know, we're actually having some speechies and OTs come by to the center and observe the children. And we thought, okay, it's a free service. Why not?
Yeah.
And so they did that. And I think it was, we're just sort of looking back at it now, it was mainly their way of kind of stepping in for us, because we were just so relaxed about the whole thing. And it's just their kind way of saying, you know, maybe she should be observed. And so we went for it. And then, they sort of said the same thing. She doesn't sort of, you know, stay in long periods of time in group settings. She doesn't consistently respond to her name as well, being called. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe I should, you know, consider a speechy. That's when I thought, okay, I'll go to the GP and, you know, get her a speechy. And then they even said,
sorry, because obviously there's things that are going to be different in Australia, and I just find it interesting. So you guys call it like a speech therapist, a speechy?
Oh, no. It's still a speech therapist. I just call it by name. It's a short, it's like a nickname. Sorry.
Gotcha. No. I was like, what is that, like a speech educator? And it's like, I don't know. Oh my gosh. And then you just said like the GE or something.
Oh, GP, like, general practitioner. It's like doctor.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Just like different, you know, Australian speak, which I think is really cool, but I just want to clarify.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So we thought, okay, I'll take her to a speechy, because at that point I was also very concerned because she wasn't talking, she wasn't able to get her message across, she would get frustrated. And so the behaviors started occurring. You know, she would have the tantrums and she would start hitting or yelling or just being defiant, just a lot more. Mm-hmm. Because understandably, if you can't be understood, you know, that's just normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the GP, got the referral, and so we saw her first speechy. When was that? She was probably about just over two. And and so far everything was going well with the speechy, but the thing was, my only concern was when I walked in the speechy's office, is her office. Like, it was small, and there was just like this office table there and a chair in front of it. And so it's kind of like almost just like an office. It wasn't really a proper huge place for a kid to run around, and, you know, it was almost quite formal. And I was thinking, do you expect her to sit down for half an hour doing activities with you? Like a bit of a battle, just to sort of get her to sort of be engaged in the activities that the speechy was trying to do with her. And it was just 30 minutes, and usually 30 minutes goes quick, but it just seemed like really long for her. And but yeah, it's just the setting of the office just wasn't working out. But I thought, okay, well, you know, she's the expert. Let's just try and persist with this. Just give it a try. And yeah, and so I thought, okay, well, yeah, we'll just go with it. And then it was just, yeah, it wasn't huge flags still around that point. I was just mainly concerned about her speech. We were just so focused on her speech because she wasn't talking. And we thought, as soon as we get this, you know, sorted, I guess, then it'll sort of cause a ripple effect with everything else. You know, her behaviors would improve and all that stuff, and her learning will improve. But yeah, and then it was just there was one time I particularly remember is when we were in the toy room, and I noticed Michaela started, her eyes started to roll back. And I thought, that is just really strange. And then it was only probably for a few seconds, probably 2 seconds or 3 seconds max. And I thought, what's going on there? And then, and I thought, okay, well, it's just that one moment. But then it happened again, probably a day or two later. And it happened sort of more and more as the days went on. I thought, okay, this is something, there's something wrong. And that was the huge red flag for me. You know, there's just got to be something more that's going on is other than this speech. And then that's when I worried, and that's when I went to the GP. And the GP said, okay, yep, we'll refer you to see a pediatrician. And so we saw our pediatrician, and I mentioned about the eye rolling. And then she referred Michaela to go for an EEG scan. And then I had no idea what an EEG scan was until we got to the office. To the hospital, where they attach the wiring on their head, and you know, it's attached to a computer, and they measure the brain waves. And they, the way it worked is that they had a flashing light just flashing at Michaela, and so I had her on my lap, and you know, she was on an iPad, and she was really, really good during the process. And it was probably for about half an hour that it went for. And yeah, and a few days later we got the results, and the pediatrician, and she said, yeah, the EEG scans came abnormal, and just the brain waves just came back as abnormal. And then I thought, okay, so what does that mean? And she goes, it's just indicates that she's had absent seizures. So,
oh wow,
yeah. And I said, what's that? And I know the word seizure. I always thought seizure is when you collapse and you fall down, you have the fit. But then she called absent seizures, and absent seizures is thankfully, I guess, the most mild form of epilepsy, which is almost like you just blank out, you just sort of just stare or something. And it's yeah, just the mildest form of epilepsy. And I even asked the pediatrician, because I was just had no idea what it was. It's like, it's a form of epilepsy, isn't it? And she goes, yes it is. And that's when I thought, okay, you know, I got, I don't know, I felt quite numb, you know, with that.
It's scary.
Yeah. And so she said, okay, so what we're going to do is that we're going to have some medication for her. And so, yeah, we give her this oral medications, anti-epileptic oral liquid that we give to her morning and night. And she still takes it till this day. And it's supposed to help connect pretty much the wiring of the brain so that she has less seizures. And eventually, as she grows up, you know, the dosage will become less and less. And then eventually, after some review and more EEG scans, if it confirms that she is seizure free, then she can be off the medication. And Yeah, so that was that. And
Now,
then
did anybody bring up autism, or were you just focused on like the seizures and
Well, the pediatrician also mentioned about, because she was also observing Mikhail and how she was interacting and all that stuff, like she was still not talking, she was still not giving much eye contact, and she was just observing her and noticing these behaviors. And that's when she referred me to see a clinical psychologist as well. And I didn't know what a clinical psychologist did. And she said, go for a formal developmental cognitive assessment. And I still don't know what that meant. I'm like, okay, let's just go with the flow. You're the expert. And I sound really, really dumb. Like, I just.
it's, I mean, for most parents, this is not something that, it's definitely not something that you expect to deal with. And it's not something that is like common knowledge. If you're not like within
That's it.
this
Like,
realm,
you don't know what you don't know.
absolutely.
And the thing was, I don't have anyone in my family who's had autism or any friends with kids that have autism. Honestly, my only knowledge at the time of autism is through TV, is because kids can't look at you in the eye. And that's all I knew. And I thought, oh, that's okay, I guess, and but anyway, it wasn't even in my mind this whole process at the time when she said, go see a clinical psychologist and refer, get a, assessment. And so we saw a clinical psychologist and she did the assessment. And yeah, and it's just, yeah, it was really hard. It was just trying to think back. Yeah, so.
When you
It was
went for the
just quite overwhelming. Honestly, I saw the report. It was like 10 pages. It was 10 pages. It was just all just gobbledygook of just words of just,
lots of
it's
big.
like I'm having a hard time just trying to sort of know what's happening, and the thing was as well, like it was just hard to grasp. Like it was just it was hard to grasp what was going on, because other than my with things with my daughter, I was having issues with family, and we've had deaths in the family, I've had a rocky part of my relationship at the time as well. And so I think, I don't know, I was just really slow to process everything because I was just simply overwhelmed, not only with my daughter but with everything else. And so just looking at this assessment, I was just like, where do I start? And it was weird, like, because I've been hearing your podcast and I've been hearing the other lady saying, when they speak to this the specialist, they confirm to you that, oh, your child has autism. Yeah, because like the paperwork was just so overwhelming and there was just so many of these medical words that I couldn't understand. Like, I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know what was going on. I thought my overall impression of it is that my daughter was just slow. My daughter was just a bit delayed.
Delayed,
Yeah. And the word autism didn't really sort of come up until it was on paper. And I saw that, and that's when I questioned it. And I don't know, I just feel like I was just so dumb. I was just so just really just clueless with what was going on, and no one sort of came up to me and told me gravity of it all. They were just very kind of like, I mean, not to be disrespectful to them, but it was just they were very subtle with the whole thing. Like, and I even sort of I remember asking the clinical psychologist, would she grow out of it?
No, I think that's a total. If you're not familiar with autism, I remember thinking the same thing, like back even before Logan was diagnosed, and thinking like, yeah, like okay, well, when is this gonna go away? Like when is it gonna? And then finally, that autism is something that doesn't go away. And I think that is, I mean, I've had other moms say that too, where it's just like, you, if you're not familiar with it, then you don't know.
Yeah. And that's what I asked her. I was like, would she grow out of it? Would she, like, something along the lines of, would she be cured? And, you know, the clinical psychologist said, no, like, it's in her brain. It's just how the brain is wired. And that's when it hit me. Like, and I felt numb. I felt everything else was just really a blur. And just sort of like listening back to the podcast as well, it's like, you know, you had your moments of like, you've gone home and you cried and, you cried with your husband and or your partner. And I didn't do that. I honestly, I can't remember. I can't remember a time where me and my husband sat down together and cried it out. Like, it was just sort of like, okay, this is what's happening. Tell us what to do and we'll do it. And yeah, and so, and I think we're still trying to sort of figure things out. I mean, as you do, like, we're still trying to figure things out on what to do.
I think that you didn't cry together, or like that you didn't cry because you were numb and you were like shutting down your emotions, or are you just like not emotional and you're like, okay, move forward?
No, definitely emotional. We were just numb. We were just, I mean, first there was the epilepsy. You know, that was hard enough for us. And now it was, you know, ASD. And we just like, you know, thinking, what happened? What caused this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there was just that period of what happened. We were just questioning.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely feel like the rug has been pulled out from under you.
Yeah, and you know, throughout all this time, people pushing me, go see an OT, go see a speechy. And then I just, even when people suggested to me, go see an OT, I'm like, what does an OT do? You know, yeah, I was just that clueless, like, because never in your, you know, wildest dreams that you have a child and this is the first thing you think about, you know, like, you just assume that you give birth to a perfect baby, you know, and you wouldn't even think about disability. You only really think about it during the pregnancy scan, right? Like the, you know, yeah, it's just,
well, especially with autism, because it isn't, you know, they like will refer to it as an invisible disability, because especially when your child is a baby, you really wouldn't know. I mean, I have heard some people say that, you know, as a baby, like, their child was really fussy or like something to that effect. But I mean, it's not something you see right away, you know? So you are kind of like living in this little dream world, like, oh, everything's great. And then all of a sudden, like, things start to shift. And like you said, you're kind of like, what happened? Like, I had this perfect little baby. I remember saying to a friend of mine once, not before Logan was actually diagnosed, but it was like, we knew at that point what we were dealing with and kind of like where we were going, but he was still pretty young. I think it was like after he had started speech and OT with early intervention. And I literally said to her, I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, yeah. I signed up for a, you know, a baby. And I'm like, I did not know that I was going to be dealing with, like, you know, developmental issues and delays, which it sounds terrible now, but it was like, that was how I felt. Like, I was like, wait a minute, like, where did all this come from?
Yes. Yeah. And then, yeah, next thing you know, my pediatrician texted me saying, come back to the office and I need to see you and bring a USB. And I'm like, okay. And the reason for the USB is because she had to forward me all these documents I had to fill up.
Oh, yeah. Your USB. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All these documents I had to fill up, all these, you know, supportive documents as well for me and how we're going to cope with everything. And yeah, just a whole heap of stuff and application for funding as well. And so I did all that and we got the funding and I used the funding to finally get an OT. So yeah, it's just, and after the diagnosis as well, I had to speak with our current speechie and you wouldn't believe what she said is that, yeah, you, sorry, this is not my area.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Because she noticed that Michaela was kind of disconnecting, mm-hmm. you know, she did notice that. And that's when I actually confirmed to her that she had ASD. She's like, yeah, this is not my area. I'm sorry. And I kind of knew, like, she didn't really kind of had the right setting. She didn't really sort of was picking up that she just was not connecting. Well, she just didn't know how to handle her meltdowns when they happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a new speechie, which had background knowledge of children with ASD and, you know, found a few good speechies out there, which was good. But I don't know whether it's, you know, the same in America, but I find speechies, they tend to come and go. Like, yeah, like, well, I literally probably went through three speeches because they either left or moved on or, yeah, it was just really frustrating because there just wasn't that consistency with Michaela.
And I feel like we've dealt with that with, like, all areas of therapy. There's been some level of, like, coming and going with OT, with ABA. I mean, like, we, throughout this whole process, we've been through many, many therapists.
yeah. And yeah, and her OT was really good. It was you know, they were able to help her with her meltdowns. It was just, yeah, her meltdowns is what's challenging right now. And yeah, it was just, she's actually quite as pleasant as she looks as well. If you see her in a photo, she's just adorable. She's just, yeah, she's an apple in everyone's eye at school at the moment because she's tiny. She's probably not even 15 kilos. She's almost 7. So yeah, she's tiny and she's quite the feisty one as well. And she'll definitely let you know when she's just not in the mood. And and yeah, it's just the challenges at the moment we're facing is her aggressive behavior. She's a biter.
Okay.
She's a bit of a biter. She's bit the baby a few times. Yeah, that was pretty hard. That was really hard. Yeah, because she tends to bite out of excitement or whether she's tired.
Okay, so and it's not even that she's biting because she's upset.
No, not really. She's just, when she's super excited, she just lunges and bites. So we're kind of dealing with that at the moment. But yeah, she's quite the feisty one. And gosh, where am I up to?
Okay,
well, I've lost sort of track.
No, you're okay. I was wondering though. So what was her? How old was she when she was actually diagnosed then?
She was probably, that was about August 2016. July.
So she was like close 4. To 3? Okay, 3. Okay.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, you're right. 4. Sorry.
Where were you? Born in 2012, and Logan was born in 2012. So that's why I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So she was close to 4. When she was diagnosed. Yeah. And so, yeah, we, I honestly, after that diagnosis, it was just, it's been a whirlwind, literally. I've just been so busy with juggling OT, juggling speechy, seeing the clinical psychologist, seeing the neurologist. It was just so much work, and I was also working at the time as well, and so I've had to cut back on my hours and yeah, attend these therapies. And she, yeah, I mean, there was progress during that time. It was slow. I mean, yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was just really hard just to juggle everything. I was just so overwhelmed. And then came early intervention. We had to, the pediatrician recommended she goes to early intervention just to get her prepared for school. And that was really, really good because it was a proper setting. It was a proper setting for children under the spectrum because, you know, they use those PECS cards that she's been using. And there was other children there that were also under the spectrum. And there was about probably only six kids in the class and two teachers. And so it was just perfect. It was just, she was enjoying it so much. And however, it was only about 3 days a week at probably only for 2 hours at a time. But it was good. You know, it was just a good start for her just to sort of get familiar with the school setting and, you know, teaching them to pack away their things and all that stuff and just, yeah, preparing them. And yeah, and I think that pretty much takes us to now. That's like she started kindy early this year and she's in a support class as well. And same setting. It's like six kids, two teachers as a assistant teacher there. And yeah, I mean, I think she pretty much settled in really nicely. Like she enjoys school a lot. I mean, there's still the few meltdowns in class every now and then. But the thing was, like in class, the teacher has what they call the sad chair. If she was to have a meltdown, then like, okay, Michaela, you can go sit on the sad chair if you like, have a break, you know. And sometimes, you know, she would even take herself there, you know. It's like, I've had enough. I'm gonna go have my space. And yeah, so she knows like where to go.
Bad chair when I'm feeling
The
overwhelmed.
yeah.
I feel like, children, leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
fun.
the other kids use the chair as well, and so
Right.
everyone has the sad chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Tell
Yeah.
me, now, okay, so is she still nonverbal, or does she have words? I know you said she uses PECS.
Yeah, she, well, the thing was, it's not officially PECS. It's something that I pretty much set up myself. I actually personalized it
Oh,
with familiar pictures.
you're a pioneer.
Yeah, so there's a lot of editing. There was a lot of cutting, pasting, and laminating, but it was worth it. Like, she seemed to really engage with using PECS. It hasn't really sort of been used consistently, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah, she's kind of fleets still every now and then, but with her words, like she's getting there. She's only recently just started using sentences over the course of probably last 3 months.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely good, like, just to hear her just talk, but like, it's not still not clear. It's because she's also been diagnosed with speech dyspraxia, which,
Okay.
yeah, do you know what that is?
I do, but explain it, because if somebody listening doesn't.
It's basically connecting the brain to the mouth. It's slower for the brain to connect physically to the mouth to move. Like, Mikhail exactly knows what to say in her brain, but it's slower to process the word out of her mouth. And so it just comes out kind of broken. Like, for instance, she would not say the last letter of a word, or she would replace the first letter of a word with something else. Like, you know, if she was to say cat, she would say cat instead. And water, war, war. She would say war, war. Yeah, and her favorite word is toy. She would say foy. So, because I know what that word is, but, you know, anyone else wouldn't know what it is. Yeah,
It's almost
that's.
like kind of like baby talk, like when a baby first starts talking and
Yeah.
it's right, because like
Yeah, I mean, yep.
and you understand it perfectly.
Yeah.
But anybody yeah. else is like, what? And you're like, you don't understand.
Yeah. And well, the way that her OT pretty much described her level of development, I guess, is she's pretty much like a three-year-old in a six-year-old's body.
Okay.
You know, like just that mentality and just the way she talks as well. But yeah, so that's what she's got, speech dyspraxia. And that's only just literally been diagnosed this year as well.
It's because
I noticed when she, sorry. Oh,
no, I was going to say, it's funny you say that because that is something that I have been thinking about looking into for Logan. Because I know that is becoming more and more like popular, not popular, but just common that kids with autism are getting that kind of secondary diagnosis of apraxia.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I do notice her tongue is curled when she's talking, and her bottom jaw protrudes out when she talks as well. So it's something that I'm definitely going to be working on a lot of the next, well, I don't know how long, but like I'm going to be focusing on that a lot because it is affecting her words, you know. She has the intention to talk. And yeah, and she has had a few sentences like, you know, out of nowhere she said, "I made a ball." And I'm like,
oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I know. And you know, the other day she would say, you know, we're in the car and I didn't have an iPad, and she just goes, "But I want to play." And I'm like, oh Mickey, but I don't have your iPad. I just went along with it. It's like, you know.
Exactly.
Like, oh my god. Yeah, I know, in my mind I was like, oh my god. You know, and that's just as of late, like, yeah, she's beginning, the words are coming out, you know, the sentences, the confidence is coming out, which is so great. And but the thing is though, I mean, like, she wouldn't sort of talk out of command if you were to say to her, "Oh, say this sentence," you know, she wouldn't really sort of say it.
Right.
Like she just sort of burst out words randomly, when, especially, you know, as kids, there, when there's a motivator, they'll talk.
Logan is the same way, because we can get him to like he uses his pecs really well, and he will like kind of put together like sentences now with his pecs, which is great. And he will, like, when we prompt him, he will at least make an approximation for something. But then, like you said, he has had these kind of random moments where he just like busts out not like a huge sentence, but like the other day they told me at school, he kept telling people, which is funny, he said, "Go away." It's really funny that he was, and they were like, he was saying it like purposefully, but also in times too, yeah, when it wasn't necessarily, yeah, appropriate. Because I think he was realizing, like, oh, I can say this. And it's stuff like that where I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah,
what is in there that we just haven't, yeah, do yet, you know?
I know. Yeah, that's right. And honestly, just speak to her normally. I know she understands what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, every now and then I'd have to kind of slow it down or simplify it. And like, even just, yeah, just the self-help stuff is a bit challenging. The toileting, mm-hmm, as you mentioned with your son, Logan, like, it's the same with me. Oh my God. It's just, yeah, she would, you know, wet her pants and just sort of walk around and, mm-hmm, until it feels like telling me that, oh yeah, I need to go to the toilet. And then I find out she's already gone. And yeah, that's just, yeah. It's, and I think, for my theory anyways, with the toileting is because she's always constipated.
That's a really common issue also for kids, yeah, on the spectrum, is just gastro issues in general.
Yeah. And she loves her carbs. It's just, oh, doesn't help, because like she just loves the carbs and that just makes it worse. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we try to sort of like give her some, like, I don't know whether you're familiar with the Parachoc.
No.
Oh, okay. It's just a liquid. It's just chocolate flavored liquid, and it's basically helps loosen the stools.
Okay.
So that helps every now and then, but it's more of a medication than anything natural. But Yeah, it's just that's my theory anyway. It's just the constipation that kind of prevents her
That makes sense.
from.
I mean, it's probably like kind of everything all together, because I mean, yeah, it's like you said, when she first got the EEG, I mean, autism is the brain, going working in a different way. It's processing things differently. So we're like me, you or me, if we wet our pants, we would be uncomfortable. We wouldn't like that. So, we'd want to figure something out to remedy that situation. But when you have autism, it's like you don't process things that way. 'Cause Logan is the same way. He could like wet his pants, or even like there's times when he'll like, drink a water cup or something. He'll spill water everywhere. And most people would be like, "Well, I want to change my shirt." He would be totally fine to like sit in that wet shirt. Like that does not even faze him at all. So it's just like figuring out, what it is that kind of drives them. And like you said, finding out those motivators, which is definitely a challenge.
Yeah, right.
But it's so interesting because it is so different for every kid. And I remember when you first emailed me, you were like, "Oh, there's so many kind of similarities in our stories." And just listening to you, there are so many similarities.
Yeah,
The
that's
thing
right.
you're saying about like, just kind of like the early days and not having a clue, that's exactly how I felt. And then just like as things kind of went on and what was coming out, it and just that those feelings of being so like taken aback by the whole situation. I totally can relate to that. It's so interesting how we all have such the stories are different, and yet like they're linked. There's some similarities that you just can't.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I didn't really hesitate to reach out to you, because I've been listening to other podcasts and they're all, really good. But yeah, I mean, they're all very medical and just really formal. And it was just really refreshing to see a podcast that was just, just day-to-day moms talking about, just what they're going through,
Yeah.
and I literally just felt like, just listening to your first podcast, I just felt like I had to reach out to you. And so, and the thing was, it's strange because like I don't normally openly talk about this stuff to any of
Well,
my
that was
friends,
you when you first reached out, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, we have to get you the podcast." And you were like, "I don't know."
Well, yeah, I just didn't expect to be contacted back so soon, and it was just like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?
So that was
But
like a couple months, or not, well, it's only been out for a couple months, but it was like a little while after then. 'Cause I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna push it. I'm like, I'm gonna let her come to me. And then you emailed me again. You were like, "Okay, I've been listening and I think I'm ready." Which I think is so, I'm that's so admirable of you, 'cause I mean, I am like such an open book, but I know there are people that aren't. So, but I appreciate it so much, because I think that I'm sure there's somebody listening who is feeling the same way. They're like, I don't, this is not comfortable for me to talk about this stuff, but listening to you is going to make them feel more comfortable.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I have been listening to the other ladies, and yeah, it's just really comforting. It really is, just to hear other people's stories and what they're going through. And it's just a good feeling. And yeah, it's also just really inspirational with just the level of strength that they have for, to support their kids.
I
So,
totally agree. I no, I mean, it's again, it's why I started this, because I wasn't able to find something like this. And like you said, I wanted to just hear kind of the day to day, because again, you do feel isolated, and you feel like you're the only person who's dealing with these things, when in reality, there's so many of us that are dealing with these things. So just kind of.
And that's right. And honestly, it's just learning from this. It's like, and just advice to other moms out there is just don't hesitate to ask for help. Don't hesitate to question things, whether they're just so little, and there's so much help out there, and just to act on it, you know. I was just so blasé and just too relaxed about my daughter's development, you know, because I was thinking maybe she was the same as my son, because my son is speech delayed as well, but he started talking when he was about close to 3, and I thought, oh, she's going through the same thing.
Oh,
you know, okay. Yeah, I mean, seriously, and whether just as little as anything, just reach out for help.
Totally.
You know, just question it. Yeah.
I always say to people, whether it's, you know, a physical delay or like a speech delay or anything, you know, getting therapy is only going to help them. There's nothing that, you know, would harm them with just reaching out and just kind of figuring out. On another like kind of mom's group recently, and there was a mom talking about how I think her daughter was like maybe 10 months old and she wasn't crawling yet, and she said that she said the pediatrician had recommended for them to start physical therapy, and she was like, I don't know, I just feel like so weird about going right to physical therapy. And there were some people who were commenting and sort of saying like, yeah, like just follow your instinct, like if you think she's okay then don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, I'm like, I'm going to chime in here, you know, this is not like a special needs parenting, but I said, I'm like her getting physical therapy, whether she has an actual issue or not, it's all it's going to do is help her. And if she doesn't have an issue, great. But if she does, you've gotten started.
That's right.
I think that it is hard to, you know, obviously accept the truth sometimes that, you know, that these are the things that our kids are dealing with. But in the end, you're only helping your child by, you know, looking into things and getting them therapy. And it's I know you know that, but it's just interesting how just that school of thought kind of has to change in this process. You have to let go of your ego and just do the best thing for your child.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, there is so much support out there. I mean, honestly, it can be a little bit overwhelming with the amount of support out there, but like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely so important. I mean I still worry till this day about how she gonna be when she goes to high school. You know, how is she gonna be if there was to be people out there that would bully her or stuff like, how is she gonna deal with that, you know? And because she's also a girl, you know, like with boys, and you know, just sort of like, God, how are they gonna treat her, or how, yeah, just stuff like that. I mean it's stupid just to think that far ahead, but you know, you can't help it. Think that way, you know. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just take it a day at a time. And yeah, it's just really just sort of like appreciate those moments where, you know, she just blurt and said, I made a ball. And I mean, she's definitely improving with her like her speech and her learning, and we know it's there. It's definitely there. You know, it's just takes a lot of patience, just takes a lot more effort.
It does.
On our side. So, and yeah.
Like pulling out those little pieces, you know, one at a time, and stringing them all together. But I mean, it sounds like she's doing so well. The fact that she's like, you know, coming out with these sentences, that's incredible. That makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah. I mean, forgot to mention, she's also learning keyword sign. Not sure if you're familiar.
Is that like sign language to like,
yeah, but it's mainly, yeah. Yeah. She's learned keyword sign as well. And she seemed to respond to that. Like she knows the basics of keyword sign, which is good. I actually went to a workshop as well to learn more words, and I got the daycare people involved as well. I arranged a workshop at the daycare for them to learn keyword sign from not only my daughter but to benefit the other kids as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. That's awesome. We use sign like back when we first started therapy with Logan, like speech therapy and early intervention. And at first he took to it really well, and then he decided he did not want to do sign, and he just like refused to do it. But he does really well with the PECs, so it's like that. Is but kind of like you said though, we have like the actual PECs that are, you know, like the little pictures and PECs, but then his therapists have made him, if there's like a certain item or something, kind of like what you were saying, they will literally just like take a picture and make that into his PEC so he can just give that to us. Because you can, I mean, kind of work the way that you need to and sort of change things up as you go, and for what like he relates back to.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, I've had such a great time talking to you, and I'm so glad we finally connected.
Yeah. So sorry that it's 5 o'clock on your side to get in touch with me, but I do appreciate that.
No, I appreciate it for you too. No, that's okay. This was actually worked out perfectly. I told you, my kids are up pretty early anyway, so
that is crazy. You said Logan's up at 7 o'clock.
Oh no, his bus comes to pick him up.
His bus comes at 7.
Yeah,
that is crazy. I'm not even up at 7.
Oh my gosh, no, my kids especially, they are. Or I am like, I would sleep till like noon if I was left to my own devices. But my kids are like early riser. He wasn't always like that. Maybe he slept so well, and then as he got older, he just creeping earlier and earlier.
He'll probably be awake now.
Oh, I'm sure my husband's here. I'm sure he's already awake with him. And I'm in the basement, so I don't even know what's going on upstairs. But that's okay. It was a lovely way to start my day. And I have to say again, thank you so much for being the first person to reach out to me, because I, like, before I really put this out there, I mean, I was hoping that people would listen and it would resonate, but I mean, you have no idea. And when I got that first voicemail from you, I can't even tell you like how just amazing that made me feel, because I was like, oh my gosh, like somebody is listening, and like this is doing exactly what I wanted it to do. And it was just amazing. And you are just a delight to talk to.
Oh, thanks. And I'm you know, makes me happy that my message has really made you happy. So
it did. Well, it made me happy because I like, kind of like what you were saying, you've been listening to the other guests that have come on and you're learning from them, and it's like that's what I wanted. I just wanted this kind of, you know, community, this network of parents and therapists, and just these real conversations that I feel like we don't get enough of.
No, I agree completely. I'm really thankful, to be part of your podcast.
Oh, well, I'm thankful to have you. All right, Kristen. Well, thank you again. And we will keep in touch. You're going to be my Australian pen pal.
It's an honor.
Thank you, Kristen.
All righty. You have a good rest of your day.
You too. Have a good night, because you're going to bed.
Yes, I'm going to bed.
Okay.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to my conversation with Kristen. I love her accent, and I could just listen to her talk all day. And like I said before we started, she is just very special in many, many ways. I loved hearing from someone with a daughter. So again, if you have a daughter with autism and you are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please hit me up. I do have a couple people that I have spoken to recently who we are going to be guests in the future. So, but again, I am always looking for people with a story to share. So if you would like to connect with me, you can find me on Facebook at Adventures in Autism Podcast, on Instagram at Adventures in Autism Pod, or you can email me at adventuresinautism2018@yahoo.com. And again, Kristen was the very first listener to reach out to me, and it meant so much to me. And since then, there have been many more listeners to have reached out, and honestly, every message and review
all of it. It just, it means the world to me. And I'm so glad that you guys are enjoying the show, and that it's helping. So if you are enjoying the show, please feel free to tell a friend, to share on social media. And also, if you could leave a review on Apple Podcast, that really does help people to find the show. And we just want to keep it going, keep it moving. So that is all for today, and I hope you enjoyed. Until next time, take care.